This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, Doug Payne begins a new series of training tips. But before we hear from Doug, Joe Whitehouse joins us to tell us what we can expect at this year's annual convention. With just a few weeks to go before the start of convention, Joe, all systems go in the office, no doubt.
It's one of the busiest times of the year for us, Chris. So, yeah, it's all systems go.
And this year, of course, everybody heads towards Texas, and you're going to be going to the Omni Fort Worth Hotel. So tell us a little bit about this, you know, what to expect when we get there.
Well, we've been working very hard to create a very full calendar of events, and the educational offerings are really interesting. I think there's going to be something for everyone. We are running an event college, thanks to Jeffrey Riding, who has helped put it into tracks for us. So there's something for the riders, there's something for the organizers, there's something for the officials. There's just, I think every constituency is covered, so hopefully the members will be very happy with what we have to offer them this year. I think one of the key things this year that I was particularly interested in is the we have an off-site cross-country course building seminar. That's on Friday, and that takes place at Goldship Stables, which is Mike Huber's farm in Texas, just outside Fort Worth. And there will be hands-on building of different types of fences there. Mats Bjornton, who developed the MIM pin system for the deformable technology, he's actually going to kick the day off with how to install the pins and what it looks like and how you do it. So basically anybody that attends that will be able to install the pins at the end of that session. And obviously he's going to take questions and give answers, and I think it's going to be really useful topic for people to enjoy. And then we're going to have three course builders on site there. James Atkinson, who is also a course designer, but Dan Stark, Tremaine Cooper, they will be there. There'll be three stations of different types of fences being built, so people can actually see what goes into making and building a fence. So anybody who is a course designer or a budding course designer or an organizer who wants to make sure that they have all the latest techniques in fence building, they should be there. It's going to be really interesting. Although prior to that, I should mention that another trip will be taking place to Mike's Goldship Stables is Wednesday, when Richard Jeffrey will do his course design seminar. There's going to be a classroom session in the morning, and then in the afternoon they will be actually out doing hands-on design and building courses there. And Mike is putting together a group of riders who will then jump the courses, so when you've designed it and you've built it, you can see how it rides. So that is always a popular thing. And I have to say a big shout out to Mike Huber and his team for making all of this available to us. That's 2 days of really intensive work with having visitors to your farm. So thank you, Mike. I mean, I don't think we could squeeze another thing into Friday outside of the course design seminar that's going to be taking place, or the course building seminar. We've got lots of meetings taking place at the hotel itself. One of the things, we've got some of the riders who are helping us out. We've got Gina Miles on Friday morning, who's going to be talking about bits, bandages, and boots. Gina has a line of bits that she's developed based on what works with her horses and what doesn't. And she has become very knowledgeable about the use of bits. And so that's one that people should be interested in. We have a real treat. We have a gentleman called Dan Marks, and I'm not sure, you know, how many people are aware that Dr. Daniel Marks served as a team veterinarian for the USET and the US Olympic teams in jumping and dressage. he's highly respected around the world and was consultant to over a dozen foreign jumping and dressage teams, and was a team veterinarian for the Canadian team at the Olympics and World Championships. So he has years of knowledge that he's amassed, and he is going to be speaking on the way horses jump, the biomechanics of the way horses jump. And that's going to be fascinating from someone who is so knowledgeable. So that's a must-see. And we have Marketing Yourself as a Young Professional, Frankie Theriot, who is very, very experienced now in the field of marketing and is a professional. She is going to be helping people learn how to best market themselves so that they can approach sponsors and know how to, if they get lucky enough to get a sponsor, how to fulfill that sponsorship, how to make sure that the sponsors are getting everything they need out of the arrangement. And of course, one of the most popular speakers that we ever have is Dan Stewart. Daniel Stewart does the equestrian sports psychology seminars, and he does the fitness side of this too. This is where everybody is on the floor and they're rolling around and learning how to do exercises that increase their ability when they're actually in the saddle. So you can hear those seminars taking place because of the laughter. These are one of the most fun, most educational things that you can treat yourself to. So I hope everybody's ready for Daniel Stewart. It's a real treat. There's a lot of open forums. We've got the Future Event Horse Open Forum. The chair of the Future Event Horse Committee, Susan Graham-White, will be talking about all things to do with the Future Event Horse, how to prepare your horse, what they're looking for, confirmation, all of those critical things that go into having your 2- and 3-year-old out there at the Young Event Horse Show, the Future Event Horse Shows. Same day, we have the YEH Open Forum for the Young Event Horse. So we've got some really good committee meetings that are taking place. And speaking of Young Event Horses, we have a real coup on Saturday. We have Leslie Law, who is, as everybody knows, an Olympic champion from 2004 in Athens, and multiple wins with his two grey horses, Sheer Low and Sheer H2O. And Leslie has agreed to be our keynote speaker on Saturday at lunchtime. And, of course, Leslie has become a master at the Young Event Horse competitions, producing some excellent young horses that are now moving way up the levels. So he's a real expert on young horses now. And following the annual meeting of members, David O'Connor is going to be speaking. Normally, you know, David is following the talent search all year round, looking for the next team riders. And this time he's actually going to be talking about looking for those next team horses. So David's presentation is going to be around 3 o'clock on Saturday. And it's going to be entitled Developing the Equine Pipeline, Breeding, Producing, and Placing Young Event Horses in the U.S. So that's a real coup, having both Leslie and David, two Olympic championship champions, with us to speak on Saturday afternoon. Couldn't be better. And, of course, we have the awards on Saturday night. That is a real treat for everybody. It's where the beginner novice champion rub shoulders with the top international riders who are receiving awards too. So that's a real pleasure to be in store. The other thing there is that following that, we have dancing with Zach Stone. We first found Zach Stone and his band at the AEC back in September, and he was an absolute runaway hit with everybody, just a very talented singer, and he is going to be performing, and everybody can get up and dance to Zach Stone and his band on Saturday night following the awards banquet. So we have so much. This schedule is so packed, Chris. It's hard to figure if we can get one more thing in, and you keep getting calls. Could we speak on? And, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens with the annual meeting. It's so full of information and educational topics and something for everybody. Plus, a lot of business will be done in the committee meetings. So we're looking forward to a really great weekend.
Yeah, a terrific mix of business and pleasure, really, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, obviously, the business has to be done, and there are some serious items on the agenda for the board to discuss this time around. But it's the time when everybody, it's the end of the season, the horses are put to bed, and they can now come and relax a little bit and have a really good time. And our annual meeting is one of the most fun things. I look forward to it every year.
Terrific. And that, of course, is from December the 3rd through the 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. There's a lot more information on the website, useventing.com. Just click on the convention news. We should mention the upcoming dates or venues, really, because people always wonder, well, where is it going to be next year and the year after? You've decided that already, haven't you?
We have. Next year, in 2015, it actually is going to be here in Washington, D.C., at the Omni Shoreham, right downtown. Well, it's almost downtown D.C. It's very easy to walk, get a quick taxi to the museums and the art galleries. It's right behind the Kennedy Center, so lots of good things happening there, and it will be a Hall of Fame year. So it's going to be really exciting for next year. The year after that, it is going to Fort Lauderdale. So the Western Diplomat, we signed a contract with them for Fort Lauderdale, and anybody that wants to go and look at the website for the Western Diplomat, my goodness, what a treat, right on the beach. So that's going to be a lot of fun, fabulous hotel. And then the year after that, it will be in Long Beach, California. And that is, again, another beautiful hotel, and lots of good things to see there, including the Queen Mary. So, boy, we've got the next 3 years tied up.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and telling us what's in store for this year's. Again, that's at the Omni Fort Worth Hotel in Fort Worth, Texas. You'll come back on the show and tell us how it went, won't you?
I will. But I know I'm going to be able to tell you it was a raging success. So. Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Doug Payne joins us now to start our new training series. Doug, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. And I appreciate the invite, and always welcome for sure.
Well, we're going to start with, I think, a jumping exercise, aren't we, Doug? You know, this is something you always want to mix it up and keep the horse interested, keep them thinking, and keep the rider thinking.
Absolutely. It's an exercise we use quite a bit, both at home and then also, you know, when out teaching clinics and all, is setting up, actually just starting with ground poles, a series of three poles set four strides apart, each of them. And what's oftentimes best is between the first and the second, having an even four strides. And then from the second to the third, we'll just have it set six or so feet short. And I think the challenge that many have, and I think the thing you see widely across the board when watching show jumping at competitions here, is that oftentimes people come in with a fixed canter or fixed distance and pace, and then they try to alter their striding or alter the canter in between the two jumps of a series or a line. And I think oftentimes you can probably be a whole lot more successful and get a better quality jump and less likely to have rails if you can set yourself up well before. I mean, we're talking 8, 10, 12 strides earlier. Trying at that point be able to say, okay, I know this is a little bit shorter distance here, so I'm going to end up shortening the canter well ahead. And once you've got that, if you have them on a good line and have a decent balance, good amount of energy, then you'll be able to just catch the jump or just the rail on the ground out of a clear, good rhythm, and the striding then will just work itself out. And the trick with an exercise like this is you go either from the short side to the long or long to the short, is that you want to produce the canter you need for the first series well ahead. and get that, and then be able to, as you're going over the center rail or later on as you raise them up into jumps, is that at that point then make an adjustment in landing, and you know, if you're going from the short to the long, land and soften and allow your horse to get up to the second one. And vice versa, which oftentimes is the most challenging. Once you are comfortable and you're able to get the striding well at just a rail on the ground, put them up, and not very big. I mean, they could be 18 inches to 2 feet. But it's very important, I think, also to have a very clear understanding of how the distance, the takeoff distance, has an impact on the style of your horse jumps, and also what happens on the backside of the jump. from the long to the short distance, it's best really to keep coming through the turn and really want to cover the distance so you get quite close to the second jump. So if you're going from 1 to 2 to 3, you want to think from 1 to 2, you want to carry the distance so you get right up next to the base of the second jump. And the closer you get to the base of that second jump, within reason, your horse will actually jump quite a bit rounder, and he's going to land a little bit more shallow on the backside and in a better balance. And so then the shorter distance will just work itself out. Many riders, and myself included, have a difficult time with it, because if you don't quite cover the longer distance initially, then you're long to the second element, and that tends to set your horse on the backside of that second jump. They tend to be a bit on the forehand and sort of rolling, and that short distance becomes quite a challenge. So I think ultimately thinking ahead, figuring out what the best, you know, what sort of canter you need to produce the best, or help your horse really produce the best jump throughout the line, will just inevitably help you out tremendously. And then also having a very good clear picture of how, okay, if you want a little bit shorter distance or a little bit longer distance, how that's going to impact their jump and impact their canter and their stride afterwards. But it's something that's a great thing. There's rails on the ground because you can do it near enough daily. It's not any more stress on the horse's legs, but it will certainly get you fine-tuned and your horse fine-tuned, and be ready for the spring season when everybody comes out next spring. And so with that, I think, certainly give it your best shot. The other slight variation you can do on it is actually keep the distances equal, so maybe an equal 4 strides to an equal 4 strides, but put the first jump right up next to the wall or the perimeter fence line of your arena, because a sort of a tighter turn in will tend to have the same effect. It'll make that first distance a bit longer. So I'd say just use the winter time that you've got and practice as much as you possibly can, because this is something that in the end, if it becomes second nature, you can produce the canter you want, then the jumping just becomes quite a bit easier. And certainly you'll have more success in the coming year.
And this is an exercise, Doug, for horses from young horses, you know, really through their career, as a gymnastic exercise.
Absolutely. And I think you can do, within reason, right? The very green horses, we've got a few that have been under saddle for a month now, and they're just starting to canter over poles. With them, okay, we probably keep the variation between the long and the short, you know, quite small. Maybe only vary it by 3 feet. You know, so you sort of introduce the idea, but it's not a tremendous shortening or lengthening they need to do. And then, on the high end, obviously you can start to stretch that out. So you can start to make that longer distance or shorter distance, you know, quite a bit more. Or maybe you vary, you know, in a more advanced horse. Maybe you're going prelim with your horse. Maybe you think, okay, I'm going to add a stride to the first and subtract one out of the second. And so you can just sort of build in that elasticity that will allow your horse to make adjustments quickly. And, everybody wants to be perfect in competition, but inevitably nobody will be 100% of the time. So you really want your horse working with you and ultimately be able to help you out when you get into a bind.
And are we doing this in a straight line, Doug, or is it this on a bending line as well to vary the
stride on a bending line? Yeah, I mean, you can do all sorts. I think the one variation on a bend that you want to be very careful about is that if you're going to, on say we're just talking about a 4-stride bending line, right? If you want to fit in 5 strides, make sure you stay on the exact same line that you were initially on the 4 strides. You see it, and again, myself included, you end up almost bowing out a little bit more to fit in. And in that case, the horse isn't learning necessarily to compress as much as they would otherwise. So I think the the stuff on an angle, or sorry, on a bend is excellent, but just be very diligent that you keep you and your horse on the exact same line you intended to. Don't allow yourself to cheat, because in the end, it's not helping your horse out. You know, he won't be learning quite as much as he should otherwise.
Well, good advice, Doug. Thank you very much for that and for kicking off our series here. Will you come back with more training tips for us?
Oh, no doubt about it. And if anybody out there has any questions or suggestions or things they might be having a little bit of trouble with, I'd be more than happy to help.
And they can, of course, always post their comments or questions on our Facebook page. Just look for USEA, the official USEA Facebook page, or tweet us as well at US Eventing. Doug, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program again.
No, not a problem. I enjoyed it.
And a reminder again, if you have not registered for the annual convention, then please visit the website at useventing.com and click on the link on the right-hand side to the convention page. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast apps. Until the next time, thanks for listening and enjoy your eventing.